O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think it's fitting as we approach the first week of school, the first day of school here at St. John, but some students and teachers in the area have already gone back to school. As we approach that, I want to start with an image from school. I want to start with something that I've heard said many times since I was probably 5 or 6 years old. I still hear it today. Well, not today, but I bet I'll hear it on Wednesday and Thursday and the days in between. And it is simply the command, the exhortation, walk, walk. In the hallways, teachers, principals, everyone, I think, has an interest as students walk. Not that we don't want them to be eager to go from point A to point B, but walking is a good thing. And especially walking in school is done in an orderly, organized fashion. Students gather together in lines, and lines are orderly and they are peaceful. I see the students walking as a unified whole, working as one. And when people run, and students run, we have disorder, we have separation. I experienced that this summer as some of our students who were here for vacation Bible school thought they had suddenly a license to run. And I almost took one of the students right into the chest when I turned the corner, and boom, there he was. Walk, walk. The thing is, when we're young, I think we probably often, not always, because there are some among us, children among us who are in wheelchairs, not able to easily walk, but many of us take for granted the fact that we can walk. And often it's not until injury or as old age begins to set in that we struggle with and appreciate the gift that we have in being able to walk. God's people are called to walk, and this is something that goes all the way back to the Old Testament. The Hebrew word for walk is, well, it sounds phonetically similar. It's halak. To halak is to walk in God's word. It's a complete thing. It's to trust God's word. It's to take account of the path that he has set out for his people, to walk in line with the expectations that he has. And so St. Paul, not surprisingly, exhorts the Ephesians, encourages, even you could say, I think, celebrates that he urges us, he says in Ephesians 4, verse 1, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Because walking is a gift. And to be together, to have unity, is a gift of God. A picture of walking that I think is fantastic, and I've seen 4 times in person, is what happens at the triennial national youth gathering of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's walking as a congregation, and oftentimes the 15 to, well, I think at Holy Cross Fort Wayne we had about 50 people going, often wearing matching outfits because you don't want to get lost, walking together, sticking together, but then taking a step back and seeing the sea of people that walk as one in a river, a church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, walking together is a fantastic thing. But our natural condition is not one toward unity. It's actually toward disunity. It's away from God and away from one another. Cynically, I could tell you that as soon as something happens that I don't like, I say, I don't want to walk with you. I don't want to walk with you. I don't want to hear, I don't even want to hear the sound of you breathing. I can't stand listening to you breathe. I don't want to look at you. I don't want to smell you. I don't want to smell you. And sometimes it's, I don't want to smell you because you're wearing too much cologne or perfume. I'm going to sit on the other side of the church. I don't want to smell you because what you were probably thinking initially, because you stink. That's why you don't want to stand or sit too close to me when I'm wearing this alb. I don't want to hold your hand. Smack it away. And this is something that happens with my kids quite often. Probably its worst could happen between my wife and me. See, our natural our natural way is not to move toward God and one another, it's to move away. And St. Paul says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. We have been called to be one body. Therefore, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in the one hope that belongs to your call. In looking at the way that the word and the notion of calling is used in the New Testament, a Christian's calling is not typically or normally or primarily a calling to do something. It's not primarily to do something. Well, look, I'm a part of the church and my job is to, I'm an usher. I do the offering. Or I'm the one who mows the grass here at St. John. That's what I'm here to do, and it's just a task, and you do it, and then you're done. No, a Christian's calling is not to do something. Rather, it is to be someone. You and I are called to be children of God. And you don't stop being someone. Well, you don't stop being someone until you're dead, right? And yet you and I know by grace, by faith, that because Christ lives, we never stop being a child of God. And so if you are a child of the Heavenly Father, and I am a child of the Heavenly Father, then something else is true. As you look at the people around you, you see, maybe you smell, you sense your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why we sang the song that I've been, I think, singing for the last 35 years at least. And assembled as one in the name of the Son, lifting hearts, lifting hands, celebrating as friends, and proclaiming the Lord, all our praises afford. We are, and then you put your arm around the person next to you, or in Jeff Huntington's case, no one. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Not because Jeff is alone. I would come down and stand next to him. That's a song that I've sung in school, sung it at camp. It is a blessing to be assembled as one, to have unity. It is a gift. But our natural condition comes out in verse 2. Man walked alone and in need, without faith, hope, or promise, or creed, wandering, aimlessly lost, unaware, ignorant of the staggering cost that God in his mercy would save all his people from death and the grave. That we are assembled as one. See, life in the church, as much as, and I don't think it's just a simple song, I mean, it's a song that has a simple message, is simple. It's sin that separates. Our natural condition, apart from being called by the Holy Spirit and knit together as one in the body of Christ to know and hear and confess God as Father, our natural condition is to be apart from one another. And it's Christ that unites. Unity is not found, and this will be an easy example. Unity is not found in saying, well, look, we're all Purdue fans. Boiler up. Or we're all IU fans. What are they say? Something like, who would even want to be a Hoosiers fan? I don't know. So I saw you back there, Pete. Yeah, so you could see, clear expression, we do not have unity in being Purdue fans, or IU fans, or Butler fans, or Concordia Ann Arbor, or Concordia Chicago River Forest, whatever. There's maybe even more animosity there. Our unity is not found in our income levels, that we're all at the same level of basic income. Our unity is not found, and I'll use something appropriate for the 2018, it's not found in our degree of quote-unquote wokeness about secular progressive causes. Our unity is in Jesus. Hermann Sasse, or Zasse, I think would be the German pronunciation, a Lutheran pastor who's now with the Lord, has said that that unity, or walking together, is both a gift and it is a goal. See, I don't want you to go into to one ditch or the other. It's the middle way that Zasa would say. That unity is both a gift and a goal. It is a gift, and we celebrate that and don't say, well, that's what it is. It is what it is. I hope it all works out. Nor is it only a goal and say, you just always got to strive toward it. Always, always, always. That's how you know you're a Christian. It is both a paradox at the same time. Middle way, a gift and a goal. And so as a result, you and I know that we are baptized into Christ Jesus. It is a gift. It's by amazing grace that we have been assembled as one, because you could probably think of a thousand and one better things to do this morning than sit here and listen to me. But it's a gift. It's by faith that we hear about our unity in Christ. And so as a result, people led by the Holy Spirit, we're engaged in our lives. I hope. It's easy to check out and be distracted, though. There's a reason that I leave my phone in the drawer down in the sacristy, during the services at least, because once I want to see if Purdue beat IU or not, the next thing I'm looking at is I'm sucked into every other thing, watching videos of cats playing with one another. I'm not a cat person. Why would I say that? I would, even though I'm not a cat person. And then suddenly my child comes up to me and says, "Hey, Dad." "Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Dad, I just cut my arm off." "Oh, that's too, okay. Well, we'll work on that in a minute." Right? I'm not engaged. It's easy to be distracted, not to be unified. And yet, you and I know, and we hear this, Jesus has told us that we're not of the world. We're not, but we are in the world and called to be children of God. Teach us how to proclaim, Lord, all your goodness, your love, and your name. Lord, teach us how to forgive. And in love, teach us, Lord, how to live. And so we, people who are led by the Spirit, who bathe, Lord willing, everything in prayer, we utilize the bodies the Lord has given us, the hearts of reaching out and hurting for others and celebrating with others, but we also use our brains. The reason, the consecrated common sense that God has given us to be a difference for Christ. And we also, by faith, and treasure unity, because it is a gift. We don't take it for granted. We rejoice in the oneness that we have. But also, when there is disunity, then it's something that should actually really grieve us. That when I am separated, and I know this specifically with my nuclear family, when I'm separated from my wife, and my kids, from my parents especially, then it really hurts. And not to say, well, hey, that's their problem. I hope they come around to me. That we pray that we would be united in Christ. And so we pray with thanksgiving for the unity we have and rejoicing in this in that. And we pray with supplication, begging and pleading that we, where there is hurt and division, that there might be healing and reconciliation. And you and I, as Lutheran Christians, and you'll hear in a moment, Miss Tinky and Mr. Gallagher confess to this. As Lutheran Christians, we confess that the Word of God, it really does something. The Word of God is active. We say it is Word and Sacrament. So the Word of God comes, and you and I are called to be children of God in baptism. That the Word of God actually does something. And when you're coming up to this altar this morning, that it's not just some sort of empty ritual that makes you feel good and gives you a chance to stretch your legs and walk up here maybe, or if not, to wait for us to come to you. It's not that. It's so much more than that. It is that Christ is here for you and me. And so take and eat the body of Christ given for you and all your sin. Take and drink the blood of Christ that unites and washes us clean as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so the way that we worship, it's an expression and models and sets the tone for the way we live. And so being in the Word, even though I encourage you to have personal devotional time, being in the Word, first and foremost, is what's happening right here. Because you know that Christ is present here for you. That's why I say simply go to church. It's great that you're here today. It's not the same when you're not here. Sometimes it smells better. No, I'm just kidding. It's not the same when you're not here. It is good to be assembled as one. Well, it's tough. We'd be here for an hour and a half. You're probably already thinking, man, I don't know how long the sermon's going to be. But I want to move to the end of the text for today, the epistle lesson, where St. Paul talks about equipping the saints for the work of ministry, building up the body of Christ. And that's one of the things that we are doing at St. John Lutheran Church and School. We're building up the saints for the ministry, for the work in the body of Christ. We're doing that here in Word and Sacrament. We get to do that in a very specific way in having a parochial school. That we are not simply a church that, oh yeah, and we've happened to have a school over there. Costs a lot of money, really complex, but we have one. No, we are a church and we are blessed to have a school ministry. In the same way, we're not just a school that, oh yeah, and we happen to be attached to that church. I don't really know anything about it, but we, you know, have to have one. It's a tax advantage. No, we are one. And this is how we live in Christ. And Paul says, until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood and growing up to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children. So it's not to just be infants only in our faith. We're children of God, but not infants in our thinking and living. Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. See, the doctrine in the church, doctrine is teaching, is, well, it has been, it is, and it will be all about Jesus. And doctrine in the church is always a doctrine of unity, of oneness in Christ Jesus. Unity is at the same time a gift and a goal. And see, unity is something that certainly we see a picture of unity in a relationship between a husband and a wife. And it is a great gift, but I can tell you that relationships, they take work. And so I don't say, well, hey, look, Andrea, we've been married 15 and a half years. Just easy to do. No, it still takes work that we got to say, who are we as a couple? We're united in Christ and we work toward that as a family. We work toward that as a church family. We work toward that. It is a gift and it is also a goal. And so as we mature in faith, maturing in faith is not saying, well, look, I'm, and especially here in the Lutheran church, well, look, I went through confirmation when I was in junior high, so I've got everything I need to know. I don't need to come back now. I'm big and strong. No, maturing in faith is actually maturing more in a recognition and a humility that says, well, faith, as one pastor defines it, is simply honesty about dependence. I am completely dependent on you, Jesus, and the older I get, the more I realize that. The more I know about Jesus, the less I realize that I don't know too much about anything else, but I need to know Jesus and the truth. See, doctrine is about Jesus, who is the truth. And doctrine that changes, Paul talks about being blown around by the winds of every kind of doctrine. A doctrine that constantly changes cannot be true. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I think you know that just listening to the doctrine or secular teaching on marriage. Well, you thought it was one man and one woman. Let me redefine it. It's actually, no, it's not that. It's actually, it can be one man and one man. It can be one man and one woman. It could be, well, it could be three men and four women. Who's just, that's kind of, you're kind of being kind of insular there, not very open-minded. You know, actually, I don't know. It could probably be two men and three dogs. It could, well, what, I mean, what, does it have to be a living object? Could it be an android or cyborg? You see, the doctrine that is constantly changing cannot be true, but in Jesus, it never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and that's what we teach and live here in this church and school. That we are called and tasked, we are gifted with teaching and living in this one truth, to walk in the oneness of true faith. And knowing and confessing and rejoicing and trusting that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life for you and me as we walk together in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.